Good evening. It's
good morning already.
Today, I enjoyed our time together of refreshments after the service. So we're not having refreshments after the evening service as well. But we're here to worship God, and welcome if you're joining us online. And we're going to start by singing to ourselves in some ways. Reminding ourselves of who we are, who we belong to, and how that helps us, whatever life brings. So when the music starts, let's stand and sing. Oh Lord, we do thank you that as we come to pray now, we come to the God who never changes. You're the God who made this universe. You're the God who stilled the storm all those years ago on the lake. And Lord, we are so glad that our God is so great. He's so strong. And so mighty, there's nothing that he cannot do. And we ask that that will be something that we grip in our hearts as well as in our minds. And we're so glad that you don't change. And we're so glad that, oh Father, you loved your children enough to send your son. You sent your son to the death on the cross and gave him up freely for us so that we can be confident of your care for us, that you will give us what we need. We thank you that every one of your promises are true. And we pray that our hearts will be worshipping you for who you are and what you've done. And what you're going to do. despite of who we are. Oh Lord, you're so good to us, and we thank you for that. Amen. So we're coming to the end of 1 Peter. But first of all, we're going to remind you of the beginning. And Tim's going to come and read for us from the beginning of 1 Peter.
Right, so the reading's from 1 Peter chapter 1, and we are reading verses 1 to 12. So that's page 1014 in the Chapel Bibles. So 1 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for the sprinkling with his blood. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honour at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you, in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preached the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. And now we're going to sing our next hymn, which is Christ the Sure and Steady Anchor in the Fury of the Storm. So if you stand to sing with the music.
Thank you.
pray again. Father, we ask that you'll help us to pray. Oh Lord, we do thank you that we come to a promise-keeping God. And we thank you that Jesus promised that he was going to come again. And he was going to bring each one of his children home. That there is a time where we will be forever with you. And we pray that that will be something that we grasp hold of. We pray that that will be our fixed horizon. That will be what we are looking forward to if we know you. Oh Lord, we pray that hope of a place of no sorrow, no suffering, no tears, no evil will be filling our minds. And Lord, we beg that you will help us as we tell others about this glorious hope, this hope of forgiveness, of acceptance for anyone who'll come. Oh Lord, we pray for the folk who came this morning and perhaps hadn't been in church before. Oh Lord, we pray that that will be something that whets their appetite, that they want to know more about you, that they want to have that peace which comes from knowing you. And Lord, we pray that for all of us here. Lord, you know our hearts. You know exactly what's inside us. You know whether we love you or not. You know whether we follow you or not. Oh Lord, I pray that everyone here will know you and will know that certain hope that Christ has died, not just to pay the price for my sins, not just to welcome me into his family, but so that one day I will see him as he is and we will be able to praise him properly. Oh Lord, we ask that that will be the freedom that we know. Oh Lord, we pray that that will set us free for living life here, for this little short life that we have before eternity. Oh Lord, we pray that our horizons will be right. We ask that our bravery will be right. Lord, we pray that we will not be silent about the hope that we have. Oh Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to tell people. We thank you for those who've been told in amongst the young people's work in Thrive and Rooted. We thank you that we're able to offer the opportunity for exploring Christianity, and we pray that many people will want to make the most of that. We thank you for First Steps and the Easter event that's taking place on Thursday. Lord, we pray that many will come. We pray that things will work so that the talk goes well and people hear, but we pray it will be seed that goes into hearts rather than just yet more noise in our busy lives. Oh Lord, we pray that you'll help us to have more of your love, so that that love flows out of us, so that we cannot be silent about the hope that we have. Oh Lord, we thank you that you are worthy of everything. And we pray for our brothers and sisters who know the cost, who have been rejected by their families, who have had problems with the state. For some, Lord, you know, there are some in prison. There are some families that are separated. There are some who are exiled. Oh, Father, we pray that you will be with them. And we pray for us. We pray that you will help us to pray for them, to support them. And we ask, too, that you will help us to question our loyalty to you and our service of you when we look at those who pay such a great price. Oh, Lord, you know that our lives are full of many things. Oh, Lord, we thank you for the joys. We thank you for the joys of this morning. And we pray again for Charlie and Bex. We ask that you will bless them, that you will help them to know you more and more, and that you'll give them real wisdom as parents as they bring up Rory. And we pray for all of us in our life situations. Oh, Lord, we pray that we will know you more. We pray that the thing that will matter to us most is knowing your peace in our hearts. Oh, Lord, we pray that that will be the reality for us, that we may know you. Oh, Lord, you know how storms buffet us, and you know that in a room like this, there are many things that are bothering many of us. Oh, Lord, some of those things just are part and parcel of life in a world that's ruined by sin. Oh, Lord, we pray that you'll help us to cast our cares on you, like you tell us to, because there are so many things that we cannot fix. Oh, Lord, we're troubled by the wars in this world. We're troubled that wicked people are taking things that don't belong to them. Wicked people are oppressing people. Oh, Lord, we beg that you might be merciful and bring peace. Oh, Lord, some of us are worried about our health. Lord, we pray for healing. We pray for peace. Lord, you know that there are some who are troubled by the consequences of what they've done. Oh, Lord, we pray that you will lead them to Calvary, to remind them that the Saviour paid in full if they belong to him. But you know how the enemy gets us time and time again and tempts us to be unloving, to be selfish, to turn from you and to look for satisfaction. Oh, Lord, we pray, as that brings pain and grief, we pray that you will help us to turn from it and turn to you. Oh, Lord, we thank you that you are so good and so great. And we thank you that you are mightier than Satan. So we pray that you will help us to remember that when we are tempted, we are able to resist the devil, and he will flee from us. Oh, Lord, you know there are many things I don't know about in my brothers and sisters' lives. Oh, Lord, we thank you that you do. We thank you, you know everything. We thank you, you know what next week brings. Oh, Lord, help us to trust you with that. And we pray that you'll help us to encourage each other. We pray that you'll help us to remind each other of the joy we have in you, of the privilege we have, of the things we have we don't deserve. And we pray that you will help John as he brings your word to us now. Oh, Lord, we pray that as he speaks, we'll hear your voice. And we pray that our hearts will be open to listen. Oh, thank you that we have the privilege of hearing the word of the living God. Help us to listen, we pray. Amen. So we're now going to read the passage that John is going to be speaking from. It is in 1 Peter chapter 5. It's on page 1035 of your church Bibles. So we're in 1 Peter chapter 5. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that's going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kind of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion for ever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother as I regard him, I have written briefly to you, exhorting and declaring that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. She, who is at Babylon, who is likewise chosen, sends you greetings, and so does Mark, my son. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. Well, we're going to look forward to John explaining that to us. But before, we're going to sing again, and we're going to sing to encourage each other to fight the good fight. So when the music starts, let's stand and sing.
Well, it was September the 14th that we started our series on 1 Peter. If you've got your Bibles open in 1 Peter, you might flick through the headings. You have a little bit of a recollection of some of the things that we've looked at as we've been privileged to go through this letter in recent months. I've even put up for you The titles, I tried to get this afternoon, I ran out of time a bit, I was a bit compressed, I think I've got them all, especially I had to try and track down Mark's and Martin's titles, because I didn't have them so easily on my computer. There we go, the five chapters of 1 Peter. Some of the titles grouped, let you have a little look at them, in case it just chings a few memories of what we've looked at. Of course, if you're feeling deprived because you missed any, they are on the internet, on video and audio, I think, if you missed any that you wanted to catch up on. So we're on the final lap this evening. We're on the finishing straight. And in one sense, that gives us an illustration of what we have in this last passage, really two passages that we've got put together. It gets us to look at the finishing tape, if I can put it like that, and especially beyond the finishing tape. It does that. And then it gets us to look back, if you like, or look down, right at the track in front of us, at our feet now. The title that I've got for the two, it gives really where we're going, Glory Ahead. Grit now. That's really mapping out what we're looking at in these two parts. But I'm going to give slightly fuller headings and put one of the verses up each time just to help us to focus. So here's the fuller heading. These fuller headings aren't quite so memorable, but they include a bit more of what's in the passage. Here's where we're going first. We're encouraged to anticipate God's grace ahead. Anticipate God's grace ahead. Now you may remember that Mark kindly sort of tiptoed into these verses at the end of his last message, but kindly left me enough room to combine it with the last few verses to make a bigger passage to speak from. Maybe you remember his 3 points. They were up there at his title, another title which gave away where we were going, and that was Be Humble, Be Watchful, and then the last point was Be Hopeful, but he sort of kind of left it at that for us to pursue more this evening. And that's what we have here in verses 10 and 11 of our last chapter. I'll put up verse 10, but I'll read 10 and 11. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. So they were in difficulties. They are in difficulties. We are in difficulties. But that's not the end. There is an after and after. After you have suffered a little while. That's encouraging. It can feel long. The last lap of a race can feel a very long lap, can't it, when you're worn out? It can feel a real struggle. But it really is soon over. It really is soon over after you have suffered a little while. Life might be exceedingly difficult for you now. I think it is for some of you. But there is an after if you're a Christian. There is an after. And I think just that little word after can be a huge encouragement. And after you have suffered a little while, there's life beyond. And there is an after because of the character of God. Because of the character of God. God is given an amazing title in this passage as we carry on in verse 10. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace. That's a wonderful title, isn't it? Do you know there are two other titles like that in the Bible? I don't know if you know what they are. The God of all. Who's that?
Comfort.
The God of all comfort. Wonderful passage there, 2 Corinthians 1. The God of all comfort. There's an Old Testament one. Anyone know what that is? It talks about the God of hope. The word all, I don't think, is in there. The God of all flesh. Jeremiah 32, I think it is, or Jeremiah 30s. The God of all comfort, the God of all flesh, a little triplet. But here, the God of all grace. The God of all grace. What a wonderful title. It's worth thinking about for a little while, isn't it? The God of all grace. God had called them in his grace. His grace was the key to their living and serving, the manifold grace of God we've had. And because of God's grace, the fullness of his grace, there was a lot ahead. A lot ahead, because he was the God of all grace. So what was ahead of them? What was, if you like, beyond the finishing tape? Well, there are two amazing words which sum it up. And it's a couplet of words that I'm not sure you can beat. And it's what if we're Christians, if we're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's what we're called to. And that gives us some security. We're not just invited to it. More than that, God has worked in us to draw us to himself. That's effectual calling, as it's sometimes called, or effective calling. And these two words, this couplet, you know, together they really are unbeatable. It is just hard to think of a better pair of words than these words. One reflects quality, and one reflects quantity. And these are, if you like, the words that we can see blazoned across the finishing tape for a Christian. So we don't need to blaze some consultancy services as we've got on our picture there. There's something else that should be blazoned across. I haven't told you what the two words. I'm trying to encourage a little bit of suspense. I'm wanting you to all thinking, well, what are these two words? Well, what are these two words? Well, we come to them here in this verse 10. After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ. Eternal glory. Can you beat that as a pair of words? What's the quality of the future for the Christian, for the now suffering Christian? What's the quality of the future for these suffering Christians? Well, it's glory. That's the quality of it. Glory. And it's a word which just describes the most wonderful of existences and the best of experiences. It is top notch. Glory. You can't better it. It involves seeing God in his glory. It involves being glorified with him. There is a radiance to it. There's a brilliance to it. That's the quality of the future beyond the finishing line for you, believer. And what about the quantity of it, if I can put it like that? What about the duration? What about how long it lasts? How long will it go on for? Is this a temporary thrill? Is it like a short-lived sort of theme park ride, which is great for 5 minutes and then finished? Is it like a sort of a special weekend away, which was terrific, but it is soon gone? What is the quantity? How long does this go on for the believer? Eternal glory. Eternal glory. You see why it's such an amazing couplet, an amazing pair that we have here. The phrase is also used in 2 Timothy 2, verse 10. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Eternal glory. That's the future. And he enlarges on the future as verse 10 carries on. And says he will himself restore, confirm, strengthen and establish you. Now it could be that some of those descriptions which we have there are to be enjoyed also in the meantime. Some of the writers on this passage see it like that. And in fact, some translations have it as a prayer rather than God will do these things, will himself restore. They start the phrase with a may and turn it into a prayer. In fact, when I was baptized, which was many years ago, and given a verse, which we were on the day, a verse in those days at the baptism, Paul and a verse in joining communion, one of the verses I was given was this. Will himself restore, confirm, strengthen and establish you. It is a good prayer. It's a good desire, isn't it, for somebody as they go forward. But it does seem the best translation to see it as God's intention and purpose. What he will do, not just what we'd like him to do, it's what he will do. Will himself restore, confirm, strengthen and establish you. And that may happen partly in this life. So the shower passes, metaphorically speaking, the storm passes, there are better periods, there is some recovery, there's some strengthening. But I think it's best to see it mainly as a future thing. I think the other side of the finishing tape, an expansion of what he's moved on to already. So what will God do for us in the future? Yes, in part now, in seasons now, which we're relieved of, we look forward to, we want, we pray for. But what will he especially do? Well, he will restore. He will restore. He will mend. He will mend the fishing net, is the word. He restores my soul. He makes things proper again. He puts together what's been broken. He will restore. He will confirm. He'll make strong. The Greek word actually is linked to the words we have for steroids. He'll make strong. He'll strengthen. He'll impart strength. He'll establish. He'll ground you firmly. There'll be no more wobbling. And God does do that for us now. And we see it in people now, and we're very encouraged when physically or spiritually or mentally there's restoration, there's recovery, there's strengthening, there's establishment. We long for these things, we pray for these things. And we especially want it in testing times. If you're going through testing times, if you're going through times of pain, if you're going through times of ill health, if you're going through times of loss. But the full fulfillment is in the future. And there, if you're a Christian, you will be physically restored. You will be mentally restored. You will be socially restored. You will be spiritually restored. God is the God who will mend and restore and finally heal. We have that beautiful verse in Philippians 3, well, two verses really, verse 20. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. That's what's after the finishing tape for you, suffering Christian. A Reminds me too of the wonderful teaching about the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15, where we're told about the change in our bodies. Verse 43. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory, it is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. Never to fall again, never to fail again. And this is God's work, this is his plan, this is his intention. This is because of his grace, the God of all grace will do this. And because it's God's work, he's to be praised for what he does. Verse 11, to him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Our future glory gives him glory. Our future glory gives him glory. So it's almost just a bit topsy-turvy this evening, doesn't it? We've been beyond the finishing line in those couple of verses. If you're walking along the path and the trees have broken and you've had a view of what's ahead, you've seen in progress language to the celestial city, you've seen the beautiful vista, and it encourages you and you see, but then we're not there yet. We're not there yet. And we come to the second part of our passage this evening, which is stand together in God's grace now. Stand together in God's grace now. It's the tail of the letter. It's partly a signing off, if you like. But there's more to it than that. And it includes encouragement for now. Encouragement for now. Let's read verse 12. That's the verse I'm going to put up. By Silvanus, a faithful brother, as I regard him, I have written briefly to you, exhorting and declaring that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. So Silvanus is another name for Silas. You come across Silas before, seen him in Acts especially, one of the ministry partners. Well, he's involved with this letter in some way. Silvanus, a faithful brother, as I regard him, I've written briefly to you by Silvanus. It's most likely it means he's the carrier, it's the messenger carrying the letter of Peter round to these folks. And it's not the longest of letters. Not the longest of letters. It's not the heaviest scroll that Silas will ever carry. But it's packed. So it's taken us 6 months to go through it. And the contents of it is true. I have written briefly to you, exhorting and declaring that this is the true grace of God. And it's an exhortation, which means it's urging them. He's stating truth, but it's truth that should make a difference. It's truth that they should respond to. So this scroll, quite brief, is a message which should be exhorting and moving us. And it's been about the grace of God. God's grace, 8 times in this letter. I have written briefly to you, exalting and declaring that this is the true grace of God. It's what God has done in his grace in Jesus. It's what God is doing in their trials. It's what God is calling them to. It's God's grace. And it comes with this. Stand firm in it. You see that? It's at the bottom there. Stand firm in it. So you see, it's not just a signing off. He's at this purpose in these last few verses. He's trying to mold them by what he's saying here. He's not just signing the dotted line. Stand firm in it. This is the now. This is the grit, if you like, to keep going, to hold on. We've looked at what's ahead. We've seen the finishing tape. But stand firm now in God's grace. It was like that in verse 9 we had last time. Resist the devil, that is, firm in your faith. Keep going. Stand firm. Don't give in. Live in God's grace now. So you have the finishing tape, but you also have the last week of March in front of you. You have the finishing tape, but you have some exams coming up. You have the finishing tape, but you've got persistent temptation hassling you during your weeks at the minute. You've got a wonderful future, but now you've got huge disappointment. Immense things in front of you, but currently setbacks. So stand firm in God's grace. Remember God's grace even now, where you are on the track, and live it out. An extra bit here. It's not just an individual sport, if I can put it like that. So running is a slightly wrong analogy here. I was pleased to be able to find a picture with two runners. That helps a bit more. You and I, being encouraged to stand firm in God's grace in the now, in the suffering, will do so much better if we place ourselves with the encouragement of others. With the encouragement of others. And I think that's implied by the way he ends the letter. So what's going on in verse 13? What's going on in verse 13? Maybe that's a puzzling verse for you, 13. She who is at Babylon, who is likewise chosen, sends you greetings. And so does Mark, my son. Babylon, what's that about, Babylon? Well, it's not talking about actual Babylon. Actual Babylon's in ruins. Don't think there's much there. He's not talking about anything from actual Babylon. It's a picture, symbolic language, of the sort of centre of the known world against God. It's Rome. It's Rome, where Peter was. And where a church was that Peter was serving. So when it carries on, she who is at Rome, you think, well, what lady is this talking about? Well, it's not talking about a particular lady. It's talking about the church, often used a feminine language for the church. The church, she, the church who is at Rome, and she's chosen, she's called as well, and she sends you greetings. A church at Rome sends its sort of love and encouragement. And so does somebody else. Mark does. So does Mark, my son. That's Mark, probably the gospel writer. Mark, very close to Peter. And when the letter ends like this, I don't think it's just saying, and by the way, Fred says hello. Fred waves to you. I think it's aimed to show that others are in them with it. It's others are encouraging them onwards. There are other voices coming to them and saying, stand firm in God's grace. Hope that makes sense. You're getting a sense of that. And also, they are really to sort of express at themselves, these suffering churches, in how they are to one another. You've got verse 14, greet one another with a kiss of love. Well, we're talking about some of the one another's, a few of us were this week. And this kiss or greeting one another with a holy kiss sounds a bit strange to us. And cultures will vary how they do this. But isn't it at the heart of it, isn't it saying, be pleased to see one another. Let each other know that you care for each other. Stay close together. Bind yourself. Be in touch. Be in contact. Be bound together in acceptance and love. So these verses, I think, are really saying, feel the encouragement of other Christians. Sort of be open to the encouragement of other Christians. That's how you will stand firm. That will help you in the grit now, in the suffering now. Now, Mark gave a good illustration about a safari vehicle a couple of weeks ago, and he took it a different way, but it made me think of this as well, that if you're in the truck or the jeep on a safari, apparently the lions or the big cats, they don't go for you. They see you as all together as one thing that's a big thing and too big for them. So if you stay in the jeep, you know, so it does. They look a bit vulnerable, some of these jeeps, don't they? Don't always. It's not as if they're surrounded by great meshes and sort of huge metals. Sometimes they don't look so much to them. But you're safe in them because you're together and you're seen as one big object, and so the lion won't go for you. But it would be very different if you hopped over the side and made a run for the trees, wouldn't it? It would be very different if you go solo. And that's true in the Christian life. We need to stick together. We need the encouragement of one another. We need the other believers to pass on their message of our exhortation. We need to keep close links with those who we are with and show we care for them and them for us. Living for God is a team sport, not an individual run. Stand together. That's why the wording is stand together in God's grace now. So following on from that, can I just ask, are you putting yourself in places where you receive encouragement? Are you feeling it's a sort of team game? It's not a game, but you know what I mean. Are you feeling it's a team game? Living for the Lord, having faith, standing in His grace. Are you trying to do a solo run? You weren't made to do a totally solo run. Perhaps I can put it like this. How many Christians would you say you have meaningful, encouraging contact with? I'm not suggesting you stand there, but do it in your mind. Who do I have significant, encouraging contact with? Well, for some of you, it's sort of going tens and tens and tens, and you're thriving as a result. Maybe others of you, you drift away from that, you avoid it, get out of habits, very private, and with different personalities, I know. But in the suffering, In the persecution, in the trials, in the storms, we need the encouragement that comes from others who love God's grace so that we can stand together. If your numbers of Christians who you have significant encouragement from is sort of, is there one, is there two, have I got a handful or not? Don't let it stay that way. You won't thrive if you let it stay that way. We need to be encouraged by God's wonderful grace and to hear of it and be encouraged in it with others. So, our closing verses, two of them together that we've put, glory ahead. Grit necessary on the way now, determination, resolution, and God's grace behind both, with each other as a gift from God to help us to press on. And so we come to the end of 1 Peter, and I hope we're the better for going through 1 Peter together. Well, let's pray before we have our final hymn. I'll just leave a moment in case there's anything you want to pray for personally first, and then I'll pray before our last song. Oh Lord, we're amazed at you, the God of all grace. And we're amazed at the future for us, eternal glory, mended, strengthened, established. We pray that we don't know that hope as yet, that we might find ourselves safe in Christ by trusting in him. We pray that you'd help us to stand firm in that grace, to hold fast in it even in the difficulties. And we pray that we may appreciate the encouragement we have from others already and be keen to make the most of the blessing of the companionship we have in the Christian faith, that it may be a source of help to us, and we in turn are a source of help to others. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we have our closing song, and it picks up the theme of sorrows in the first line, as you can see, but it leads on to the victory and the hope that we have through Christ. Shall we sing together our last song?
Amen.
some closing verses. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labour is not in vain.